are joined by Jason McKeown from Width of a Poster. How are you doing, Jason?
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not bad for a Thursday anyway, and hopefully it'll get much better when we look ahead to Portsmouth at the weekend as well, Jason. Big one down there at Fratton Park this weekend for Bradford City.
Yeah, it's very important after the last three results we've had, you know, 1 point from those three games. The performances haven't been too bad, but you don't really want to let that slip even further. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to go back to winning ways. We're supposed to be taking quite a big away following down there, the first time we played them for quite a few years as well. So I think it's going to be a really interesting contest. And, you know, hopefully it's end of the month, you know, there's been slight disappointment, you know, end it on a positive.
Well, that's exactly it, Jason, because, I mean, you look at these first 15 games, they're sitting in third. I think a lot of people had taken that at the start of the season, even earlier had taken that with the leaving of the likes of Meredith and Marshall along the way. But after this little bit of a slump, is it important to pick straight back up from that again?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of games, I mean, like I said, the performances weren't terrible, but, you know, you come off the Charlton game, it was a bit of a nothing game, really, where how the team could have won it. It's just fine margins went against us. And at Bury, it was a bit of a dodgy penalty where Jermaine Beckford won when City were winning 1-0 and looking in quite good control there. But things change quite quickly, obviously, don't they? And you don't want to be talking about four games without a win if we don't win on Saturday and slipping down the table a little bit. I think, though, you know, even in September when we were winning quite a few games and, you know, getting some brilliant results, the performances at times weren't necessarily fantastic, and we're certainly not playing the kind of scintillating football that we were playing this time a year ago. So in some respects, it's probably natural to have a bit of a levelling off period where results aren't quite as good as they were, just because I don't think there's quite the flair in there at the moment in this team. We're lacking a little strength in depth as well, and having had a few players out injured and suspended the last couple of games, you know, those absences have been really keenly felt.
I was going to say, especially with social media now, you sort of only pick up 1 point out of a possible nine, and suddenly the social media goes absolutely mad along the way now, Jason.
Yeah, and that's the way it is, isn't it? And it's been like that for quite a few years, to be fair. And I think the key with, you know, City and, you know, the management and, you know, everyone around them is not to, you know, lose their heads when other people do in that situation. We've certainly been in tougher spots over these last few years, and we managed to come out of them quite nicely. So I don't think there's any reason to panic or anything. I thought the performance on Saturday, while it wasn't fantastic, it was decent enough. It deserved more than what it got. And when you're bearing in mind all the players who are out injured and who, you know, those kind of absences, I don't think there's any, you know, issue about lack of quality or that we're suddenly going to get found out. I think it's just a bad week, really, of, you know, which we can pick up quite quickly from. So there's no reason to be downhearted at all, but you understand why as supporters, we're emotional creatures and we do get a bit upset when we lose, obviously.
Oh, that's very, very true. One thing that I found fascinating with League One this season as well, Jason, is Wigan, they look to be a force. It looks like they might be the ones that a few people are tipping for the title now. But away from that, in a league of itself, it's looking quite open this season.
It is. We were kind of expecting stronger challenges from the likes of Blackburn and Portsmouth and Rotherham. So far, that's not really materialised. Everyone's talking about Shrewsbury and can it last? We've seen a few teams, you know, over the years in League One start out the blocks really well, unfancy teams who you're surprised are up there, and then they end up sort of levelling off and, you know, in the end perhaps just making the playoffs or even missing out on that. Scunthorpe United last year was a good example of that. Tranmere a few years ago is another one. So it's interesting to see if Shrewsbury can keep it going, but, you know, their results have been incredibly impressive and, you know, they're obviously up there on merit, so it'll be interesting to see if we can catch them. Certainly at the moment, obviously we're in third place in the league, but there's already a bit of a gap between the two, you know, the automatic places, so it's going to be, I think for City, that the objective has to be to get into the playoffs, but it is, as you say, wide open. Wigan, you'd fancy to really kick on and win the league, but the other spot is still up there for grabs, definitely.
That's very, very true. And I've been reading your article on a Width of a Post as well, Jason, and one of the points is January. It looks like it could be a really important window, the one coming up next for Bradford City, Jason.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I touched on, there's definitely a bit of an issue of lack of strength and depth in certain positions. And I think up front, obviously we've got Charlie White, who's a fantastic asset. He's done really well. But we've not necessarily got a second striker at this moment in time who's really, you know, nailing that place alongside White. I don't think any striker has scored a goal for over a month in the league. That's a concern. We're kind of lacking that physicality as well, certainly when White doesn't play. So not that we want to, you know, open a James Hansen debate or anything like that, but you're kind of wishing we had a striker of that kind of ilk, a bit more physicality, who could come in and do a bit of a job, because I think that would help us a lot. So there's an Aki Wells transfer money to spend. The owners have presumably got a few quid as well still lying around. So if we're in a position like this, you'd really fancy us to you know, you'd be expecting us to, you know, put some money behind the team and, you know, really go for it over the second half of the season by making a couple of good signings. So for now, I think between now and Christmas, the intention should be to stay in touch, be in those top six positions and see where that takes us in January, and then hopefully can kick on over the second half of the season as we did last year.
Yeah, let's not open the old Hansen debate again. I can imagine people already shouting at the radios as they were a few years ago there. But looking at it as well, Jason, you know, quite a few people, especially sort of away from Bradford City, look at it, they've seen, they've been in the players for the last couple of years, obviously a heartbreak against Millwall both times. Is it realistic for Bradford to be aiming for the top two, do you reckon, this season?
Well, I think when you look at the finances and the wage budgets of the respective teams, you would probably say, no, it's not realistic, really, because there's no doubt there are clubs who are spending a lot more money and have bigger backing behind them than City have. You know, the wage budget this season was cut, I believe, from last season. So that's a challenge, you know, in itself to, you know, just to replicate what we did the season, you know, last season, never mind to be in those top two places. I think even Bury, who we played a couple of weeks ago, you know, as much as unfashionable club, very, very low gates. And in fact, when we played them a couple of weeks ago, we took more fans than they did. But I think even they've got a bigger budget than us. So there is that element to it. But obviously, you know, you see the headlines, 20,000 fans being at the Valley Parade, biggest crowds in the division. It's understandable that that people and as supporters would expect us to be up there challenging for the top two. And we are a big club at this level, there's absolutely no doubt about it. But I think, you know, top six is a realistic possibility. Anything above that is a bonus, really, and should be hoped for rather than assumed.
Yeah, well, certainly fantastic, Tim. You can get your thoughts in as well at home at @radio_Yorkshire, studio at radioyorkshire.co.uk. What do you make of Bradford City's start to the season there as well? Jason, I know you were at the Chequered trade tie earlier in the week as well, and I know there's been a lot of changes to the format. There's still quite a few people that are a bit iffy about the format as a whole, but it does seem that Bradford have some good young players coming through, more from Gibson, Divine, Pybus, all that sort of thing. Really good crop coming through at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the competition is important for that reason. I'm a big fan of the competition traditionally over the years, and I've been going to a lot of the games, you know, here and there and everywhere over the years, and it's never a high-profile competition, but it gives players who are in reserve a chance to shine and to show what they can do, which is always, you know, really important. Obviously, the rules around it with the, you know, the B teams and all that business, the penalty shootout, extra point nonsense, it's all ridiculous and it needs to be scrapped as soon as possible. But I think it's important not to scrap the competition, and it's worrying when you do see these really low gates and clubs must be making a loss on, you know, hosting these games on certain evenings, because it's just not really worth the while when you see all the empty stands and, you know, the running costs that still go into that. But I think it's important that we don't, you know, take that completely away, because the competition was decent before that. It can be decent again. Let's get these B teams out of there, which is, I just don't see the value of at all for anyone apart from the B teams, obviously the Premier League clubs themselves. And let's go back to having a good lower league competition with that big prize of going to Wembley.
That's exactly it, Jason. I couldn't agree more with you there. I've even been open to the options of getting some of the National League teams, maybe even National League North in there as well. It does have some importance, but bringing the B teams in and 56 fans when an EFL fixture's on at the other side of the Pennines, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Also, Jason, I've been having a look and I've been having a read of reinventing Bradford City. I've been picking up on the 1996, obviously, the playoff glory for Chris Kamara and how close they were to getting back into the second tier of English football. But a perfect Christmas present for any Bradford City fans out there, Jason.
Well, yeah, hopefully. It's still available in all good bookshops and available to buy online. So, yeah, please do purchase it. And all the money is going to a good cause, to the Burns Unit. It's all done for the love of Bradford City and for charitable purposes rather than any personal gain. So if you're short of a, you know, Christmas present for the Bradford City fan in your life, you could do a lot worse, if I do say so myself.
Well, it's certainly fantastic to hear as well, Jason. It's great to go over some of these stories because obviously I was only a young kid when it was 1996. I really remember the Premier League era onwards from there. I was a glory hunting Bradford fan probably at the time. But it is great to have a look back at some of these stories and really go into them a little bit more.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the modern history of the club is remarkable, really. I mean, especially when you compare it to before 1985 and what was going on in the 60s and 70s when the club was just slowly dying, really low attendances, always in the bottom tier, doing absolutely nothing of any real note, really. And then suddenly, you know, post over these last 30 years, there have been some incredible highs and some incredible lows all over a very short period of time. And the stories behind them are, I think, are very interesting. So writing that book was an absolute joy to, you know, to go and meet your heroes and interview them and find out the inside story about what those exploits. And I think it's a very interesting story, you know, in this modern age of football and everything that's gone on with, you know, post-Hillsborough, the Premier League and, you know, the global phenomenon it is today, what a club like Bradford City has done and, you know, how it's evolved over that time. So, yeah, I think it's a very interesting story about the club, and hopefully people who read the book will agree that they, you know, it captures that essence very nicely as well.
Certainly fantastic to hear. Reinventing Bradford City, still on Amazon there as well, so make sure you get hold of that one. Jesse, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Yorkshire today.
Thank you very much, no problem.
Thanks a lot there, Jesse McCune, with Of A Post. Remember, you can join in on that debate as well at radio_Yorkshire, studio@radioyorkshire.co.uk. What do you make of Bradford City's start to the season? Have the expectations been raised or lowered? Are you still after the top two? Is top six the way they should be going? Let us know your thoughts on that one. We've got one of the finest from Prince right after this.